Let's stand and sing our theme.
Hear a little bit of noise, and they probably a little bit more than a little bit of noise. So some of the leaders come and they wear earplugs on purpose. So, why do we have a kids crusade? And we're going to look at a couple different things at the end. But tonight we're going to begin with this first passage. I mean, I know people understand that children, they require a lot of special attention. They require special programs. And they do not contribute very much to the church. So why do you do it? Well, if the only reason why you were going to try to reach out to anyone was try to get offerings, which we know that's not the case here. We know that's not where my heart is. But so why do we do this? I think children are not a curse that you have to endure. I think children are a blessing to be enjoyed. And I think that I think most of our church would have this heart. And this message is not aimed to one certain individual. But this past year, someone asked me, why we do Kids Crusade, or what's the motivation behind it? And I spent a little bit of time. I was not going to present it as a message, but the Lord laid it upon my heart to do this. And it says in Psalms 127:3, "Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward." Now let me first say, I know that is the parents, first and foremost, their responsibility to raise their children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. The church is there to be able to be a help to them, the things that they should be teaching their children at home. They should not send it to church and expect the church to instill these rules and guidelines for them and then they not do it at home. It's something that we are building upon the foundation that is supposed to be already laid at the home. Now, unfortunately, we do have families and we do have children that come to church and their parents don't come. I was a child that when I rode the van, when I rode the bus, we call vans because that's what we use here, my dad did not go to church. My mom did. My mom was a godly lady, but she had to work a lot for some different reasons, and she did not get to come to church as much. So I was a bus kid growing up. I rode the bus Sunday morning, and I got to the point where I got old enough, I was a bus helper, and then became a bus captain over the years. And there was a nice, godly, older couple that took us to church on Sunday nights. And on Wednesday night, we got transportation, probably most times stayed after school for church. All these different things. I'm thankful that someone invested in my life as a young person and took the time to think that children are important and invested their time, their energy, and their resources to help see young people saved. Because at a young age, I was saved at a revival. A preacher preached. I fell in the conviction of God. I came forward. I'd been in church all my life. I'd already thought I was saved, but never made that profession of faith. And I came forward. I got saved and I got that settled. At a young age at camp, he said, "Why do we have to have camps?" At a young age at camp, God spoke to my heart about being a preacher. And I answered that call to preach while at camp, probably around the age of about 12 or 13 years old. You know, someone took the time and the energy and the money and all that stuff and put it out there so we could have camp. And it was important. So I think that this passage here we're going to look at, I think it looks at the responsibilities that we have and helps us understand what we're supposed to do with children, help support the families do with children, and in the place of the families that do not have parents that come to church, or at least don't come on a regular basis, how we're supposed to help mentor, or a better word, Bible word, is disciple them, but also to help us understand some of the specific reasons why we have Kids Crusade here. And I pray that you pray for me as I preach this message, why we have Kids Crusade. Let's look here in Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 16. Actually, we'll just go ahead and start in verse number 12. And in verse number 12, it gives one of the strongest things when it comes to divorce and talks about adultery. And we're not going to talk about that tonight, but it just gives you, I think there's a connection here. I think it's in the Bible for a reason. I think it talks about how divorce and how broken homes many times can leave children as the victim. That's not always the case, but it is the case many times. Verse number 12 says that if a woman shall put away her husband and be married to another, she committeth adultery. Verse 13 is where we're going to start our focus. And they brought young children to him. And now, who are they saying they? I think they're referring to their parents. Back in Bible times, that the parents would bring their children to the rabbis so they could touch them and pray on them, and you know, at a special time, sort of like when we have a baby dedication, you know, someone who wants to bring into the pastor, and a pastor pray with the family and pray over the child, and as a point of surrendering that child to the Lord. And they brought young children to him, and this is referring to Jesus, that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. Verse number 14, but when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And much displeased. And said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. Wow, I mean, you think about this story. There was a group of people, disciples, people who were supposed to be the spiritually minded leaders of the day, said, hey, look, Jesus does not have time for these children. Hey, why are you bringing these kids to him? He is too busy for that. And the Bible says that Jesus was much displeased. I think we see in this story here that there are people who get this idea that children aren't that important. But here I think we see a little bit of the heart of the Savior for children. And I think that just as a child is important to God, each and every one of us are important to God. So there's a couple things I want us to take from here. Our responsibilities. I think it's our responsibilities to serve our children by evangelizing them. This passage nowhere implies that Jesus was actually saving these children. He was merely praying for them and pronouncing a blessing on their young lives. But this scene teaches us that these parents cared enough about their spiritual condition that they brought their children to Jesus so that they might be blessed by him praying for them and touching them. From the earliest passages of the Bible, believers have been challenged to share the things of God with their children. Parents should do everything in their power to ensure that their children are exposed to the gospel and exposed to the Word of God. And that's why we have things such as Sunday school class, and we have things such as vacation Bible school to come alongside with the family. Now, once again, the dad is supposed to be the head of the house. It's the dad's responsibility to teach and train them. But the God has created roles as a pastor and given a church to help support those things. And I think it's our job to understand that we need to make sure that we are spreading the gospel of Jesus Christ to these young people. Let me also say, we don't look for numbers at Kids Crusade. We don't try to count on purpose so we can come up and say, hey, look, we had 50 kids or we had 100 kids or we had 2,000 kids. That's not what we're looking for. Another thing is we do not look for decision numbers either. I try to stress this. You know, we are not trying to place words into the child's mouth when it comes to salvation. We want them to come to this point where they realize that they are a sinner, that they need a Savior, and that when they understand that, they profess that, and they accept that for themselves. We're not going to have some big rally time saying, hey, okay, who doesn't want to go to hell? And everybody raise their hands. Well, then just say these words. That's not what salvation is all about. Salvation is hearing the truth, understanding the truth, and accepting the truth. So that's why we don't come out and say, oh, we had, you know, 50 of the 100 kids get saved this past week. And then next year, the same 100 kids come and we have 50 of the 100 kids. We're not looking for that. Now, we are going to present the gospel. We are going to share the word of God with them. We want that because that's our responsibility. And do we want to see young people saved? Yes. Are we going to work towards that? Yes. Are we going to pray that that happens? Yes. Are we going to coach somebody into saying a prayer that they don't understand or mean? No. And that's, I want you to understand, it's not about numbers. Is about somebody sincerely understanding and accepting Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. So I want to put that, it's our job to evangelize them. It's not our job to try to force them into something that they do not understand and do not realize what they're doing. So I want you to get that. Can a young person get saved? Yes. Can someone as young as, I've met people as young as 4 that said that they understood and they were taught from a very, very young age about their need and they saw that they were a sinner and that they recognized it and they accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Savior. But I've seen people that have also made a profession of faith at a young age, and then they realize that, hey, I didn't really understand what I was doing and had to get truly saved later on in life. So I want you to understand, God can save a young person. We do present the gospel, and this is what our prayer is, that young people get saved, but at the same time, and those that are helping with our personal workers this week, and they've been helping for years, is something I always try to help them with. Make sure that you're not coaxing them. Make sure that they understand, they are sincere, and they have a desire to get saved because they know that they are a sinner, and they've been convicted of the fact that they are a sinner, and they need a Savior. So it's our job to evangelize them. But why do we have Kids Crusade? Yes, it is to be able to share the gospel with people, but I don't want anybody to have a misnomer. I know there are churches out there, and I'm not picking on them for that, but that's not the type of church that I want us to have when it comes to our children's programs. I think we should educate them. Not only are we going to share the gospel with them, I think we need to educate them about the truth of the Word of God. This word nurture refers to the whole training and education of a child. When the Bible says bringing up a child in nurture and admonition of the Lord, Jesus here gets upset with them. He says, look, who are you to tell these children to go away? They're just as important to me as you are. And he wants to educate them. Like those ancient parents, believers in our days had the responsibilities of modeling our faith in Jesus so that the younger generation can see that he is worth knowing. Educating them is teaching them the principles of the Bible, but so much more is it us living a spiritual and holy life in front of them. They need to see it in the Word of God, but they also need to see it in our lives. How much does your child know that your faith in God is real to you? When they see it in your life, when they see that it's only Sunday and the rest of the week forgotten about, they'll know that. They will come many times to despise that when they realize that you try to shove religion down their throats. And he says, well, it's only for you at one day a week. Why does it matter to me? Another thing is, we want to serve our children not by only evangelizing them, by educating them, but we also want to encourage them. We want to encourage him. Jesus is encouraging these young people. Jesus is encouraging these parents. They're coming to him, and they want Jesus to take them. And I think it's really great when it says in verse number 16, he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. He was loving on them. I think you see a heart of the Savior here by his affection towards them. He loves them, and he wants to show that he cares. And I think we need to encourage our children. You know, when the Bible says bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord, the word admonition has the idea of encouragement. We ought to encourage our children to seek the things of God. We ought to teach them to pray at an early age. We make the Bible a big part of their daily life. Pray with them. Encourage them. That's why we have Sunday school classes, to reinforce the fact that you should be praying. You should be reading your Bible. That's the reason why we have Kids Crusades, and so that way we can teach the young people truth and the importance of it, so that way we can encourage them to do what's right. It's not to get them all hyped up and then leave them to be able to do whatever they want. We want them to learn the Word of God and understand the Word of God on their level so they can be encouraged to do what's right. D.L. Moody once returned from a meeting and reported that and it was reported to him that 2.5 conversions happened. And he said, 2 adults and a child, I suppose, asked his host. And he said, no, Moody said, 2 children and 1 adult. He says, when a child gets saved, they have their whole entire life to give to God. But when an adult gets saved, they only have a portion of their life to give to God. Now, if you listen to Gallup surveys, and I'm not a big survey fan because you never know who they're asking, but according to one Gallup survey, recent one, it says 19 out of 20 people who became Christians professed that they did this before the age of 25. At the age of 25, it says only 1 in 10,000 will become believers. At the age of 35, only 1 in 50,000. At the age of 45, 1 in 200,000. At the age of 55, only 1 in 300,000. At the age of 75, only 1 in every 700,000 receive Christ. Now, those numbers are staggering. Do you believe them? Well, I do know that there are more professions of faith from a young person than we ever see with adults. That's why parents and others, concerned adults, must do all they can to bring children face to face with the gospel. And I like what these parents are doing. They're bringing their children to Jesus Christ. They're showing that He is important to them. There's somebody that He needs to listen to. And that's what we should do when we bring our children to church and to things like Vacation Bible School. You think about Timothy. He was known for receiving and understanding Christ as a young person. It says that from a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Christ Jesus. We don't know exactly when he got saved, but we do know that he knew it from what his parents had taught them. I want you to see that we can see the Savior's heart in this passage of Scripture. We see that he has a heart for the young people. And back in that day and time, it was not the same. The young people back then were treated as objects, possessions. Even I remember reading one illustration that a man named Hilarion to his expectant wife, dated June 17th, 1 BC, instructed his wife. He says, if it is a male, let the child live. If it is a female, cast it out. Even back in ancient Rome, fathers held absolute power over their children. This power was called patria potestas. A father could condemn a child to die simply by commanding it to be done. And a case where this happened was recorded as late as 60 AD. This practice was finally outlawed in 375 AD. Back then, they thought children were a possession and that they were not something that they should look at or care for. But the Bible teaches us something different. Bible teaches us when the disciples told him, hey, Jesus doesn't have time for you, that Jesus said he was much displeased with them. The Bible teaches us the importance. You remember what it says in Mark 9:42, and whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for them, for him, that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. Jesus Christ cared about children. I think we should also. We also see the Savior's hands here. Let me first of all say, in the day and time we live in, we need to be very careful how we touch young people. And, hugging and different things like that. I understand with close family and friends, I'm not going to judge you with that. But you need to be careful that you always do everything out in public. You don't want to bring any type of reproach. People are always looking to sue the church. But also, you need to be careful that you don't have a bad testimony. Having your hands all over kids that are not yours many times can cause issues and problems, and you just need to be very careful with that. There's an appropriate time and a place, but we see here that Jesus Christ was showing how much he loved and how much he cared for these children. There are times when it is appropriate to try to encourage them, and times when it's appropriate to, as the Savior see here, to the Savior's hands, he laid hands on them. It indicates that he placed and took time to bless each child that became before him. No matter how young they were or how insignificant they appeared to the rest of the world, Jesus Christ took the time to lift them up and to place his hands upon them and to bless them. I don't know about you, but that's special. You can talk about those special moments that we talked about this morning. Jesus Christ, doing this is a special moment in their lives. And I think we as believers can have some special moments with the young people that we have a part in helping bring. So we said all those things to try to help you understand those people that says the children aren't worth it. We shouldn't waste our time. We shouldn't waste our energy. We should not waste our finances to have something like Kids Crusade. I think that Jesus had the same type of response. He was much displeased. And it does take time. It does. There's tons of time involved in it. It does take a lot of work. There's a lot of work that's involved in it. And it does take finances. And I know most of the times it's self-supported off of the penny parade that we have. But there's other things. Could I do other things next week instead of spending all those? Yes, you can. But is there anything more important? I don't think there is. I think our children are important. So here's some different goals for Kids Crusade. Number one, the obvious goal, and I think it's the one that we need to keep a focus on, is to teach children. You know, we have Kids Crusade so we can teach children. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. We need to teach children the truth. all around them today. They have people that are teaching them lies like evolution. They're teaching them lies saying you have to look a certain way, you have to act a certain way, you have to dress a certain way. They teach them lies about how they should treat their parents, and they teach them lies about God. They teach them lies about church. They teach them lies about obedience. And this week, what we're going to do is we're going to take a different subject each night from the book of Proverbs, and we're going to look in the book of Proverbs, and we're going to see what the Bible says about listening and obeying. We're going to see what the Bible says about their heart. We're going to see what the Bible says about their tongue. We're going to see what the Bible says about working and working with their hands. We're going to see what the Bible says about friends and walking with the wise. And what we're going to try to do is we're going to try to combat the things of this world and the lies of the devil and say, look, this is truth. This is what God's word says. This is what you can rely on. This is what we should be doing. And to be honest with you, as I read through those lessons, it's contrary to everything else they hear today, thrown at the propaganda, everything thrown at them today about who they should listen to, and should question authority, and do I really have to do this, and it doesn't matter, do whatever your heart feels, and use your mouth whatever way you want, and you know, you don't have to do as much as the other people do, and you know, lies. Where are they going to hear the truth? They're going to hear it at church. There are so many lies the devil's teaching us today. We need to understand to combat those lies with the truth. Now, I love this story where Jehoshaphat is talking to Ahab. Jehoshaphat shouldn't have even been there. Ahab and Jehoshaphat are talking about going and fighting a certain battle, and it's found in 1 Kings chapter 22. And Jehoshaphat listened to all Ahab's, I think there's over 100 prophets come up and says, you should go into battle. And they even construct some horns and they make some type of show and say, you should go into battle. Surely God will be with you and will defeat your enemies. And Jehoshaphat, who was a godly man, which he shouldn't have been with the wicked king, he said to Ahab, he says, is there not here a prophet of the Lord besides that we might inquire of him? He says, isn't there a prophet of God somewhere in this place that we can actually hear from God instead of just hearing what you want to hear? And Ahab answered him this way. He says, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, by whom you may inquire the Lord, but I hate him. Ahab said, look, I hate him because he tells me the truth. You know what? We need to help young people understand the truth that's involved. There's truth there. They are bombarded with lies all around them. There has to be a pillar, a lighthouse of the truth. And that's what we're trying to be. And that's why we have kids' crusades. We do things to try to help attract them in. They don't become like the world. We don't act like the world. We bring them in so we can teach them the truth of the gospel, because we're going out into all the world and preaching and teaching the gospel. We need to introduce them to God. The Bible says that all the earth may know that there is a God. And that's what our theme says out in our lobbies, and something we must grab a hold of and say, you know what? I want each young person in this world to know that there is a God. They need to make a choice what they're going to do with Jesus Christ. They need to make a choice whether they're going to accept or reject him. But it's my job, my responsibility, to teach them and show them. And that's why we have things such as Kids Crusade. Deuteronomy chapter 6, verses 5, all the way through verse number 9, teach them that we should teach our children to love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. One of the things I enjoy about this year's lessons is every night we're going to have a little bit of invitation, tell them their need for salvation, but the nights are mostly, except for one night, are there to train and educate those who are already believers, or those who come to church. Teach them the truths of the Bible. It's not just about the fact that you need to be saved. We need to train our young people to love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, with all thy might. We need to teach our young people this. We need to learn this. We need to have a certain time where we can bring it home. We have revival services for adults, and this is similar to having some type of service to attract children in so they can hear the word of God taught and preached. Another thing is not only just teach them the truth about salvation and truth about loving God, I love the fact that we can teach our young people to have fun and not have to be worldly about it. I don't know about you, but the world tells you got to do some type of sin in order to have a good time. And 98% of the kids that come, they have a great time. You say, what about the other 2%? It's a little bit overwhelming sometimes. I've had good kids come and says, man, the people in there are too crazy. They get too loud and this and that. But you know what? 98% of the time, they have a great time. and we do our best to honor Christ throughout it all. Do we play games? Yes. But we try to teach our team leaders to have a godly atmosphere and to try to encourage them to do their best for their team and do their best for the Lord. We don't put up with cheating. We don't do up, you know. We try to do everything in a way that can honor the Lord with our actions. So I think it's important to understand the first thing is to teach our children. Second thing is to reach out to our own church families, kids. To reach out to our own church families, young people. I want our kids to believe that we love them. I don't know about you. I want to, you know, whether they're young and the idea that they're 2, 3, 4 years old or they're up to 18, you know, I want them to all know that they have a pastor and they have a church family that thinks enough about kids that are ages 4 to 12 to have a program designed for them on purpose. They spend hours putting it together, hours worth of work. Do they appreciate it? I think they do. And I think that if they will end up appreciating as time goes along, if they don't understand it all right now. They had someone that was willing to take their time all week long to come teach them lessons, play silly games, learn new songs, do puppets and do decorations. Now, we want our children to feel loved. And I hope that happens. And I hope that's like I said, if we have 80 kids come and we only have 20 kids that come on a regular basis there to our church on Sunday mornings, you know, there are 60 kids there that aren't regular attenders. Now, there are people we're trying to get to come to church if they don't have their own home church. But at the same time, we want our young people to feel that they are loved and they're important to us. We don't want them to feel like they are pushed away because we have things for other age groups and not for them. So that's another reason why we have Kids Crusade. Number one is to teach our children. Number two is to reach out to our own church families, young people. Number three is it is to reach out to visitors. And the Bible tells us to go into all the world and teach and preach the gospel. We do have an interest in seeing more people educated and join a church. I also want to go as far as to saying I love the fact that Kids Crusade is a great time where you can invite family and friends who might not ever come to a church, but you can invite their young people to Kids Crusade and they come to have a good time. And I think in the least, when their parents come or the kids come, they will have the testimony that that church loves young people and loves the Lord. And that's what we're going for. We want them to come to church. We want them to grow, but we want them to understand our church loves young people and loves the Lord. You would not believe some of the things I've heard people say about Faith Baptist Church. I've gone and knocked on doors, and some people are bitter. And I've heard, you know, I've heard people say, "Oh, that's a church that won't let black people come to church." I said, well, if you want to come to church, that's just not the case. And I went and knocked on doors, and that's a church where you won't let Mexicans come to church. You know, the devil is good at what he does. He has caused people to say lies about Faith Baptist Church. That's the church that says that you have to be dressed a certain way to show up at church. You can't come to church if you're wearing this or wearing that. That's just not the case. And I've heard lies over and over. And to be honest with you, when you're old-fashioned, independent, fundamental Baptist church, there are going to be certain people that think certain things about you and think certain things about the way you perceive them. And they won't ever come to your church because of the fact that they think that you're holier than thou and you this and that. You know what? That's just not the case here. And I love it when people come and they visit with us for the first time. And at the end of the week, they come up to me and they said, you know what? Your people were so kind and so loving. I never thought a church could act like that. I think that's great. That's something we should praise the Lord about. But that's not the way everybody thinks about Faith Baptist Church. Unfortunately, that's not the way it is, but we want them to think that way. How are they going to change their mind? Because you tell them? Oh, they're going to say you're biased. You get them here and they see and they experience the love that we have here. And the fact that it says in Philippians 2:15 that we be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation among whom you shine as lights in the world. You know what? They're going to see the difference in our lives. And hopefully that will cause them to say, you know what, I need to go to church and I need to be a part of a church like this. And they come and they get saved. And we have some families that have been regularly attending our church just because they came to last year's Kids Crusade. And in that those families, we've seen people actually saved this past year on the Friend Day. And, you know, they've been faithful to church. And we're excited about that. And we're trying to help and disciple them and try to grow. You know what? I love it when we can reach out to visitors. And I love when people can walk away and they can say, you know what, Faith Baptist Church is a place that loves God and loves one another too. That's what we want to show. And I think a majority of us would feel that way. I know some of us might not feel that way because we're not that close to our church family. But the majority of those people in this room would say, we have a church family that loves one another, that wants to help one another, and we are very appreciative of our church family. Mr. Sawyer always tells me, he says, I like everybody in the whole church. I said, Mr. Sawyer, I don't even like everybody in the whole church. I said, I gotta love them, but I don't like everybody. And I tell him I'm joking, obviously. But, you know what? The truth is that they're one of the drawing cards to our church is the fact that we love one another. And I love it when our church family can invite their family out and they come in and say, you know what? I see why they go to this church. Not because of the fact that it's anything special about us, but because we love the Lord and we want people to understand to love the Lord. And I think in a lot of independent Baptist churches today, that has not been shown in the past, and they have a bad name to them. And because of that, people are fearful. And we want to change their minds, hear what they think about our church. I don't want to have to go to doors and hear people say, well, you know what? That's not the way it is. And that's why I tell people, that's not the way it is here at our church. Why don't you come and check us out? And that's what I tell people, and it's up to them. Another thing is, and I'll be honest with you, is to grow our church family. I'm not talking about numerically here. I'm talking about spiritually. I tell you, if you can set aside time and give of yourself and sacrifice to do something and you see young people saved, young people encouraged, young people educated, you know what's going to happen? You're going to grow in your spiritual walk. I mean, I know Kids Crusade is not for everyone. I know some people don't have the personality or some people don't have the physical strength anymore and things like that. And they serve other spots. And I'm not begrudging them that, but I'm saying that one of the things I enjoy about Kids Crusade is when we come together as a church family and work to produce a big project like this and see so many people put their time and their effort and their energy into it, it helps us grow as a church family together, but also helps us as a church family to grow to become more like the Lord. We want to be used by the Lord. And when we pray together and we seek God's face and we serve trying to make something happen, this is why we do Kids Crusade. To teach kids, yes. To be able to reach out and to evangelize them, yes. We want to show them the truth. And we want them to know our young people feel loved. And we want visitors to come and understand who we are and what we believe and that we have a love for the Lord and a love for them. But we can grow together as believers. I know I'm encouraged when I see other people working and giving of themselves. It still amazes me sometimes that people are willing to give and the sacrifice they're willing to make to come and be a success for something they're not going to get anything out of, but just to try to help someone learn about Jesus Christ. That's going to help them grow. The Bible talks about in 1 Corinthians 3:9, for we are laborers together with God, and that's what we are. We're laboring together with Him, but He joins us together as a unit, so you are God's husbandry, you are God's building. The Bible says in 3 John 1, verse 8, it says, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. What we're trying to do is be a fellow helper to the truth. 1 Peter 4, verses 10 and 11, the Bible says, as every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. If we're going to be a good steward of the grace of God, we're going to minister to other people. And that's what we're doing this week, is ministering to kids. He says, they're kids. Are they that important? They were that important to Jesus. They should be that important to us. The Bible says, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracles of God. If any man minister, let him do it as of the ability which God giveth. And that's what God wants us to do, just according to our ability, as He has given to us. That, and listen to this, that God in all things may be glorified through Jesus Christ, to whom be praise and dominion forever and ever. Amen. That's what we're looking to do. Why do we do Kids Crusade? Is that way God can get the glory. We get tired of seeing young person's life after young person's life go down the wrong path. We want that young person's life to know God and get God the glory. So I want to encourage you tonight. If you're planning on helping, great. Be here tomorrow. But also at the same time, pray for us. We don't just have Kids Crusade because I have an empty week in my schedule and 40 to 50 teenagers and adults, and that's how many we usually have, 40 different adults and teenagers combined to come help. Not because they didn't have anything better to do. With the teenagers, I'm not sure. But with the adults, the adults, not because they got to have a whole week off of work. Now, many times people are sacrificing and doing this for a purpose and a reason. So we need to pray for this, and we need to encourage. Now, we did not get to have a Kids Crusade meeting at all. So I'm going to just remind you of a couple of things, and we're going to be finished. Whether you think this is the proper place to do this, I don't know, but I don't think there's anything wrong with it because many of you are going to be there tomorrow. So just give me a minute or two. First of all, one of the greatest things you can do if you're signed up, you've received a little slip of paper. If you signed up to help work on that board, unless I missed you, you got a piece of paper telling you the jobs we like for you to do. If you do not have a piece of paper, you can come see me afterwards. It's either you did not sign up, or I got too old and I missed you, or whoever was passing out the piece of paper lost your piece of paper. I don't know what it is, but one thing we could always use is for adults to come and sit amongst the kids. Just sit there, an adult for every five kids. You might not think you're intimidating looking, but to a four-year-old or five-year-old, when you go, shh, you know what that's going to do to most of them? They're going to be good. They're going to sit up and behave. So if you come and you don't have a job, just come sit with the kids. Walk through the and stay with them the entire night. What if they don't want to move? You're bigger than they are. Tell them to move, and they'll scoot down. So sit amongst them and be kind to them, obviously. If there's a group of friends and you want to sit towards the end, that's fine. If you don't have anything to do, if you have a list and you have free time, come sit with the kids. Sing with the kids when they sing. When they stand up, all those different things. Just sit there, play along with them, and you'll get to know them, but it'll also help them behave. Number two, we want to have a good attitude. If you're going to come with a bad attitude and be disgusted by a kid misbehaving a little bit and getting upset, then you might want to stay home. We're going to try to work with kids. If kids do not behave, we will take care of them. We'll contact their parents. They will not be allowed to continue on coming if they willfully disobey over and over and over. We have not had that in the last few years, but we'll work with that, and we're going to show them grace. We're going to show them mercy, and we're going to work with them. Another thing is our church has always had some guidelines and standards when it came to dress. I want to remind you of a couple of those real quick. The kids, don't you dare tell a kid they can't come because of the way they're dressed. That's not for kids. We're talking about for the adults and people who are saying, I'm helping at Kids Crusade. We asked the guys to not wear shorts. Is there something evil with that? No, I'm not saying you're evil and I'm saying you're wicked, but we're trying to present something here, and we'd like for you to be dressed to the point where you're at least wearing jeans, slacks, whatever it is, t-shirts. You don't have to come in a suit. I'm not going to come in a suit. I'm probably going to wear a pair of jeans and a Faith Baptist Church shirt. So I encourage you, don't wear tank tops. I know that some of you guys have these great big muscles, and wear dress the way that you would be normal activity dress for teenagers. If you have questions about that, please let me know. The ladies, we've always had this when you're a leader or when you're helping. We ask that you either wear a skirt or culottes, or as of recently, we've allowed some of the young ladies wear athletic shorts to give the appearance of a culotte. If you have questions about that, you can see my wife. You mean I'm going to be wicked and evil if I wear a pair of slacks? I'm not saying that, but I'm just saying if you want to be a leader and you want to help pass out stuff, or you want to be, we're just asking you to represent that way, our church. Not trying to be mean or ugly about it. Kids, come whatever they want. If some of the kids' parents come, obviously we're not going to ask them to wear a certain dress code in order to be able to sit with a kid or to help pass out a snack. We're not going to be stupid like that. But for people who are faithful members of our church, or people who are just attending our church, and don't get me wrong, you don't have to be a member of our church to help. We open this up to anybody who comes, anyone who wants to attend, anybody who wants to be helped. When parents are here and they look like they have some sense to them and they want to sit with some kids, we'll encourage to plug them in, do something. Obviously, we're not going to let them teach a lesson if we don't know them, but we might let them pass out a snack if they want to get involved, or we might let them sit with some other kids. We're not going to be dumb about things. We're always going to show the love of Christ, but for our church, this is the guidelines that we've always had. So, and some people that are new, I know that they might not know those things, so I'm just helping you with it, because we did not have a Kids Crusade meeting. So, and ladies, for your skirts, please keep them to the middle of the knee. culottes, we usually ask in the shorts to the bottom of the knee, just because we're not trying to reveal the thigh. Guys, obviously, if you're wearing slacks and pants, that's not going to happen. But just to just give you a little heads up for that. You say, well, I'm not going to come because of that. Well, you know what you're doing? You're missing out on the blessing. And it's not too much to ask. We're not too hard-nosed or ugly about things. We try to be kind. We try to be Christ-like when it comes to things. And I think this message tonight, hopefully you understand my heart a little bit for Kids Crusade. I love the kids. I want to see them get saved. I want to see them surrender their life. You mean everybody's supposed to be a preacher? No, no, no. I want to see them give their life over to what God wants them to do. And from that, I want them to learn about Christ here. I want them to learn about the truths of God. I get tired of seeing them people biting into that line, hook, line, and sinker, and there is nothing there to combat that. That's what we're here this week to do, is combat the lies of the devil. And I want you to come, and I want you to be a part of it. We're getting ready to have an invitation time. Say, Pastor, what are we going to do during this invitation time? I don't know about you, but I'm going to pray for Kids Crusade. And I don't know about you, I'm going to ask God to give me a burden to be the right person during Kids Crusade. Whether you do it at the seat or at the altar here, let me encourage you during the invitation time to spend a few minutes praying for the kids, praying for the teachers, praying for the leaders, praying for the spirit of the church, praying that we do things together in one bond of unity for the glory of God. And that can happen. I've seen it happen. And I'm very thankful for all the work and effort people put in. I think our kids should appreciate it. I think they do. I know I do. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet with heads bowed and eyes closed. Let's take a few minutes here during an invitation.